Morning, everyone. And today's daf in Tanis is Yud Aleph. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned with Zeich Nishmas Lovs Lupin Zoltzman. We find ourselves on Yud Amud Beis, right in the middle of the Amud. Okay, we started yesterday the Mishnah that brought us really to the main component of the Masechta, and that is the fasting. The event that the rain doesn't come down, and we look at we're looking at an impending famine, lack of rain, devastation. So it is time to start supplicating and asking Kadosh Baruch Hu, petitioning Kadosh Baruch Hu that the rain comes down, and that's done through a series of fasts. The fasts are done in series of three: Monday, Thursday, Monday. We spoke yesterday a little bit about the significance about Monday, Thursday, Monday, but it's done in waves, and as the lack of rain continues. So the fasts become more and more serious, both in terms of its quantity, how many people are going to be fasting, and in terms of its quality, in terms of the nature of the fast itself. So the first Mishnah that we did yesterday on the bottom of Yud Amud Beis talked about the Yechidim fasting. We have individuals fasting. So in other words, on the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan rolls around and there's no rain. So as we mentioned yesterday, the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir, where the 17th represents the last date of Yoreh. So if the 17th day of Tammuz comes and there's no rain, so Yechidim start fasting. Those are individuals. Who are those individuals? So the Gemara told us yesterday those individuals are the Chachamim, the Rabbanan, the rabbinic community. So they're the ones who start this fast. They fast on a Monday and a Thursday and a Monday, and it's not, the Mishnah says, there are no inuyim, there are no afflictions. Like Yom Kippur, they can bathe, they can engage in Tashmish Amita, and they can wear leather shoes, and they can put on oil, and they're allowed to work. The only thing is that during these days, it's just simply an abstention from eating. It's a fast day, it's a Tanis. And then the Mishnah says, if we move to the first day of Kislev, and still there's no rain, so then the entire community fasts as well. But again, the nature of the fast is going to be the same thing, where it's just going to be abstention from eating, but all other things, malacha and all the other inuim would be okay up until this point in time. What we learned yesterday in the Gemara is that if the Monday and Thursday Monday of the goes up against Rosh Chodesh or one of the dates mentioned Megillat Tanis, so the fast is going to be postponed or canceled. I'm not sure which one, but in other words, the Rosh Chodesh is going to trump. And then we had a discussion yesterday in terms of what is the definition of a Yachid, what's the definition of a Talmud, and can you be somebody who's not a Rav, and can you accept to yourself to fast on the first wave of a fast? So the Gemara yesterday brought down a machlokus between Tanaim, it's a machlokus between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, and subsequently was a machlokus between Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar versus Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Okay, and good. That's all we. That's the extent of what we saw yesterday. We are continuing in the Gemara, so we're right in the middle of the Amud Yud Amud Beis, and we are continuing Tana Rabbanan. Misha Yamisana Alatzar VaAvra Alacholav Nisrape Harizem Misana Masha. You accept upon yourself a fast. Okay, accepting upon yourself a fast. The Gemara doesn't use this language, but we could use it. It's like a neder. So you're making a pledge, right? Not much different than, let's say, you are pledging to give money. So you pledge to give money, like we learned the other day in the daf. So you pledge to give money, you have to give money. I mean, we didn't learn that in the daf, but we learned that the lack of rain comes as a consequence of people pledging publicly and not delivering on their pledge. When you pledge to fast, it's the same thing. It's an eder. You've accepted upon yourself, and therefore you have to fast, even if the reason for fasting is no longer there. So the Brisa gives a couple of examples. Mishia Misana Latsar Va'avra. So let's say there was an impending calamity, and you pledged to fast, and averted. Right, I give you in Florida. Let's say the hurricane's coming, and we're in the cone of death, and then the hurricane makes a left hand turn. Okay, but you pledged to fast, so you got to keep your fast. Alachol of an isrape, or let's say somebody's sick, so you say, okay, petitioning Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you pledged to fast, and the person heals. Okay, now I no longer need to fast. No, you do need to fast. In other words, once you made a pledge, you committed yourself, you made an eder. So you have to fast, you have to finish your fast. Okay, let's say in the community you're living in right now, all is good, nothing to fast about, but then you happen to travel to another community and they're fasting. So what's the halacha? You got to fast with them. Meaning you become a member of that community vis-a-vis that fast. And what about the opposite? What if you're in your community, they're fasting, but the community you're traveling to right now, currently, they're not fasting. So the Mishnah says, I'm sorry, the Braisa says, so you got to fast. And Rashi says, what's all this based on? It's based on the Mishnah Psachim. Remember the Mishnah Psachim that says that when you're traveling from one place to another, you adopt the chumrah of the makam that you go to, or the chumrah of the makam that you came from. And so therefore over here, that's what you have to do. So if you're traveling to or from a place that's fasting, so you have to fast. Shachach v'achav v'shasa. So let's say you forgot and you started eating. Okay, it happens, right? In the middle of a fast day, you forgot it's a fast day, and you start eating. Al yidra b'fnei atzibra v'al yanhig idunim ba'atzmo. So at this point in time, now you broke your fast. Okay, again, if it's a personal neder, if it's a personal, let's make it simple. Let's say it's a communal fast, and you're a member of the community, you're fasting with them, and by accident you forgot, you broke it. So says the Braisa, don't at this point in time now say, well, you know what, I ruined it, I ate. And you should, and then what you do is you start eating in front of others. That you should not do. So the Gemara here gives a simple example of don't flaunt it, meaning don't eat when other people are not eating. So the Gemara here gives a simple example, and that is Yaakov and the brothers. Yaakov and his sons. So Yaakov says to his sons, Lama Tisra'u, this is the Parshas Miketz, where the famine starts taking hold, and there isn't food, and it happens to be that Yaakov and his sons have food. Why that is unclear. They prepared, the Torah doesn't make that point clear, in terms of why it is they had food, but they had food. So Yaakov says to his sons, you know what, Lama Tisra'u. What does that mean? The Gemara explains. You know, we live amongst all of our cousins over here. B'nei Esav, B'nei Yishmael, and I mean that in this particular case, literally. So literally, they're cousins. And B'nei Yishmael are like second cousins, but anyway, but still. In other words, we have all the cousins living around us, and it's just not right. Meaning, we have food, and we're going to eat, and there's a famine, and everyone's starving. It's not right. So kadesh leis kana b'chem, so that they won't be jealous of you. So as a result of that, so Yaakov sent them down to Egypt to go get food, not because they needed food, but because they didn't want to look like they were satiated when others around them are starving. Same thing. So the Gemara says, what do we learn from here? That if it's a fast and you forgot and you started eating, so don't flaunt it. Don't now start eating in front of other people. That's just simply not appropriate behavior. Will not make them feel good. Al tirguzu bederech. As long as we're quoting pasuk regarding the brothers, the Yehuda and the brothers. So the Gemara here quotes another pasuk. This is later on in the parsha, where Yosef tells the brothers, you know, I'm Yosef. He makes the admission to them. So they were already now in Parshas Vayigash. So he says, I'm Yosef. And the brothers say, oh, okay, good. So he says, well, that's not actually their reaction. But and then Yosef sends him back to Eretz Yisrael to go get Yaakov. And he says, and instructions to them is, as you're going back to Eretz Yisrael, al tirguzu baderech. So what does that mean? That's a simple question. What does that mean? So I'm Rabbi Lazar, I'm Lehem Yosef, Lachav al tis asku b'davar halacha, shematirguzu aleichem aderech. So the Gemara here quotes Pshat, and that is, al tirguzu, don't fight, meaning don't get on a halachic debate or discussion, because you may get lost somewhere on the way. Okay? An odd time, certainly, to have some sort of halachic discussion, right? We're unclear why Yosef had to instruct them that, but okay, that's our Gemara's pshat. If you take a look at Tosfos actually quotes the Medrash, and the Medrash goes the other direction. The Medrash says, if you take a look at the short Tosfos, Tosfos says, "Al tirguzu bederech v'yesh Medrash, al tafsiku midvar halacha." Don't stop learning halacha, meaning you should stay focused on Torah and you should continue learning Torah. Again, this is Yaakov, Yosef, the brothers, meaning they had some version of Torah. But the Medrash goes the other direction, meaning don't stop learning. That's the Medrash's pshat. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Lam Yosef, La'achevat Tisask b'Devar Halacha Shematikus Alechem Aderch. I'm sorry. Eini the Gemara says Amar Rabbi Elazar Bar Brech Yeshnei Tamid Chachamim Shemahalchem Aderch Vayim Benem Devar Torah Uin L'Sareif. So again, we're gonna now go with our Gemara's Pshat. Our Gemara's Pshat is that Yosef's instruction to them was don't learn. Right? Because you're going to get to learn and you're going to get involved in the learning and you're not going to be focused on your mission. Your mission is to go get dad. So Yosef's instruction was don't learn. To which the Gemara says don't learn. That's crazy. We know that if two Talmidei Chachamim are walking and there's no Torah between the two of them, they deserve to be burnt. The Gemara quotes a pasuk that speaks to this idea of Vayihi Hem Aholchem Haloch v'daber v'hinei rachav ish v'suso eish v'yafridu ben shnehem. And there was a chariot and chariots of fire and horses of fire and separated between the two of them. So tamadika dibor. Now the only thing that saved them from being burnt was the fact that there was some sort of dibor, meaning there was Torah. Haleka dibor ruinly sarf. But if there's no Torah, so they should be burnt. So basically now, the question is, according to our Gemara, not according to the Medrash that Tosfos quotes, but according to our Gemara, Yosef's instruction was don't learn. What do you mean? The brothers are Talmidei Chachamim. The brothers now are going to go all the way back to Eretz Yisrael and not learn? And that, how can that be? So Lakasha Halamigras Halayuna. So the Gemara gives a distinction, a very simple distinction, and that is the kind of learning. If it's Migras, Rashi says, chazuring over Gemaras, meaning we're not learning anything new. We don't need a lot of brain power. We're just going over that which we know already. So if it's just Girsa, so for that, that's fine. That you could do. But if it's Iyun, if it's something which requires analysis and concentration and focus, so that Yosef was saying to the brothers, no, that don't get involved in. So you want to be Kiyas Seder on your way back to Eretz Yisrael, that's fine. You want to be Iyun Seder on your way back to Eretz Yisrael, that's not fine. Okay. B'masisa Tana. We have another Braisa. And the Braisa over here also attacks the same pasuk al tirguzu b'derech. Yosef's instructions to the brothers as they go back to Eretz Yisrael to go collect Yaakov and the family is don't al tirguzu b'derech. So again, so right now we have one pshat in our Gemara, we have one pshat from Tosfos. The pshat in our Gemara is don't learn, which now we understand means don't learn be'ian, don't learn intensely. We have the pshat of Tosfos, which is just the opposite. Do learn. Okay, don't stop learning. The Braisa now is going to give a couple of other explanations. Tana, al tafsiu psiagasa. Don't take large steps for reasons which we're about to explain in a moment. Or ve'echnisu chamal ir. Ve'echnisu chamal ir, and bring the sun into the city. That's an expression. What does that mean? It means when you start traveling on your way, make sure it's light. It's daytime. When you before retiring, make sure it's light. Meaning, don't travel at night. Don't travel at night. Don't try to find lodging at night. Meaning, everything should be done during the day. So, al tifsu psiagasa damar. The Gemara over here quotes regarding psiagasa, taking large steps. excuse me. The damar mar psiagasa and tells echem mechamishim meos mim or einav shel adam. Taking large steps affects your vision. Okay, don't ask me to explain the correlation or the causation of how this works, but you take large steps and it diminishes your vision. And so therefore, al tirguzu b'derech, meaning don't take these large steps because it'll hurt you. It's going to be damaging to you. So that was one way of understanding al tirguzu b'derech. V'echnizu chamalir, k'der av Yehud amarav, damar Yehud amarav, la'olam yetzah adam b'chitov, yechanz b'chitov. Person should leave while it's daylight. Person should find lodging before the daylight finishes. Shenemar ha'boker or v'anashim shulchu. It was morning and the men were sent. Okay, so so you see that you only travel during the day, and you should not travel at night. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rabbi Chiya. Okay, so far, this morning, and the conclusion of Daf Yehuda Amar Beis, so the Gemara over here spends a little more time talking about not eating in front of other people who are fasting. All this was generated by the Gemara's comment that if it's a fast day and you forgot that it's a fast day and you started eating, so don't continue eating. Perhaps having nothing to do with the fast day, but having to do with making other people uncomfortable. Meaning they're fasting and you're going to eat in front of them. That's just simply, it's unpleasant. And don't be unpleasant. And then the Gemara talked about, that's why Yaakov sent the brothers down to Mitzrayim to go collect food. Because even though they had food, but Lama Tisro, but don't show off in front of our cousins, in front of Bnei Yishmael and Bnei Esav, where we have food and they don't. And then it segued into the Gemara of Al Tigru Zubaderech. When Yosef sent the brothers back up to Eretz Yisrael to go collect Yaakov, he says Al Tigru Zubaderech, and the Gemara gave a couple of pshatim exactly what that means. Okay, we're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're on Yud Amud Beis. I'm Rav Yehu, Amar Rabbi Huda, Amar Rabbi Chia. The Rabbi Yehuda quotes the name Rabbi Chia. Hamahalach b'derech al yochel yosef mishnei ravon. You're traveling, so you should eat light. Don't eat a lot of food while you're traveling. Why not? Well, the Gemara is going to give two explanations. But basically, treat it as if it's a famine, where food is scarce, and keep your eating to a minimum. So my time, hacha targima mishum mayana, b'marav amri mishum mezone. So the Gemara gives two explanations for this halacha. One explanation provided here in Bavel, and another explanation given over there in Eretz Yisrael. Here in Bavel, the reason is mayana. Now that's a one-word explanation. What does that mean? So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, mishum mayana, shelo yischalchelu me'av shel adam berov achilaso. Because you just ate a big meal. And now what? You're going to walk a long distance? That's going to be terrible for the digestion. The food is just going to sit inside, get mashed around inside, and it's not going to work out well. Your intestines are going to be pouring one into another, just like flowing springs. In other words, it is just simply not going to be good for your intestines, for your digestion. Perhaps it'll force you to go to the bathroom. Rashi doesn't say that, but in other words, it's not going to be good for the intestinal tract if you eat a lot of food and then go. Okay, maybe one can even suggest cramping, but Rashi doesn't exactly say that as well. But in other words, just simply not good from a digestion standpoint. In Eretz Yisrael, the explanation they give is mezone. Mezone is a little bit easier to explain. Rashi, shema'in lo lachar kach. It's very simple, meaning you have to ration. You're about to go on a long journey. You only have X amount of food. And so you don't know whether or not there's going to be a place to stop to get more food. So you're simply going to have to ration. And that's the reason why you should eat scarcely to make sure that you have for later on. Now, the Gemara notes that there was going to be a nafkamina, there's going to be a practical difference, and that is the yasabarva. Let's say you're traveling on a long distance, but you're on a boat. So in other words, you're traveling, but you're not doing any walking. So here, if the reason is because of you have to ration, so here you have to ration. If the reason is because of the exertion that you're going to that the walking is going to create, and the effect it's going to have on your intestines, well, here you're not walking; you're sitting on a boat. So that wouldn't be a concern. Or let's say you're traveling, but you happen to know that you're traveling from town to town. Meaning that there will be a town on your travels, so there, the exertion of walking is going to be an issue, but because you're going from one town to another town, you know that there's going to be food in the adjacent town. So that takes one problem into consideration, but removes the other problem. Now, we just said the halacha is that when you're traveling, you should eat very sparsely. You shouldn't eat a lot of food. On the other hand, Rav Papa, with every parsa that he walked, the parsa is dala mil, it's 4 mil. In other words, when he was traveling on long distances, with every parsa that he walked, achal chadarifti, he would eat a loaf of bread. Now, it happens to be, I don't know, is that a lot or is that a little? I'm not really sure, but Rashi is sure. Rashi writes that that it's a lot of food. So what is Rav Papa doing? He's just simply dismissing the previous halacha. So Rashi says, not exactly. Yes, but it's justifiable. Rashi writes, so Rashi says that Rav Papa adopts the reason of Mayana, meaning that's an intestinal issue. And Rashi writes, Rav Papa had intestinal fortitude. Rav Papa was able to handle his food. V'ihu lo mistafe mi Mayana. Rashi writes that Rav Papa was not worried about the intestinal damage that the food would do to him. Debal beten hava, because we know, I know it's personal information, but Rav Papa was corpulent. Baruch Hashem, he carried a little bit of extra weight on him, and therefore he can handle the food. Rashi gives another pshat, which is very similar. Kreisor Rachva, he had a wide stomach. Either way, the point is that he can handle it. So the only reason why, in other words, this is a halacha where the reason is provided, although it's debatable what the reason is. But the halacha is that when you're traveling on a long distance, don't eat a lot of food because it's just not going to be good for intestines. However, the Gemara points out, Rav Papa, who had intestinal fortitude, and a little bit of cushion, if you will, to support that intestine, so Rav Papa did in fact eat a lot of food, even when he was traveling. Okay. Chadarifta kasavra mishamayana. The Gemara just simply spells out that from his perspective, he understood the problem to be mayana. Which, by the way, works out because Rav Papa is from Bavel, and the Gemara said earlier that the pshat of mayana is the one that's given in Bavel. So, geographically, it works out as well. Okay, it's a famine. Now, it happens to be that you have food, but the way you should behave is as if you did not have food. Meaning, kol hamariv atzma b'shnei ravon. In years of famine, if you withhold food from yourself, nitzami misa mishuna, you'll be saved from a terrible death. What's the definition of a terrible death? Rashi says any death that does not occur in your bed is a terrible death. Meaning that if you die because of cherev or ravon or basically anything listed in the tefillah we say in Rosh Hashanah. So any time you don't die in your bed, so that's a terrible death. So, in other words, it's very similar to the idea that we presented earlier, and that is that when the community is in famine, you should be in famine as well. Even if you have the food. So, shenema barav padcha mimavis. So, fasting or famine will save you from death. Right? Out of context, what does that mean? Fasting will save you. Famine will save you from death. Just the opposite. No, in the context of the way we're learning it now, totally understand. Meaning that when the community is suffering and does not have and has a lack of food, so you should behave accordingly as well. Marv mi ba'ilei elahachi kamar. I'm sorry. Me'ra'av mi ba'ilei. The pasuk says bira'av. In famine. What do you mean in famine? Me'ra'av. So the Gemara says that's what the pasuk is teaching us from Eov, that when the community has a lack of food and you are behaving accordingly and not eating well, but eating poorly, so that's good. It saves you from misa mishuna. Other things that a person should do during years of famine, and that is abstention. A husband and wife should abstain from our relations during Shnei Ravon, during years of famine. So, and how do we know this? We can learn it from Yosef. We're going back to Parshas Miketz. A lot of Parshas Miketz today. We go back to Parshas Miketz. So we know that Yosef ascended. He becomes second in command. And Yosef has two sons. And the Torah says that he has the two sons before the Shnat Ravon, before the years of famine. So, and what is that? What does it imply? It implies that during the years of famine, so he didn't have children, he didn't attempt to have children, in other words, he abstained. And again, based on the context of the Gemara that we're learning right now, why abstain? Because the community is suffering, and so therefore, you don't want to, you want to be with the community in its suffering. Okay, so, well, that's going to be the Gemara's next point. Okay, so, that's the next line of the Gemara. So that's a good question. The Gemara is going to address it. Take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos over here asks a rock solid question. I mean, they all are, but Tosfos over here writes, "V'im Tomer Hare Yocheve Nolda Ben Achamos Va'Oso Eseis Rav Haya." So Tosfos over here says, "Look, Yosef behaved. In other words, Yosef abstained because it was years of famine. Okay, and he wanted to be in solidarity with the community." So, but Yocheved was born Bein Achamos. What does that mean, Bein Achamos? Meaning, as Yaakov and his sons went down to Egypt, so, right, the Torah describes that there were 70 who went down to Egypt. Meanwhile, you count it up, and there aren't 70, there's 69. So, right, that's a problem. So one of the classic answers, Rashi brings it down in Chumash, and Tosfos over here assumes the same answer, is that there was a 70th, and that 70th was Yocheved, and Yocheved was Bas Levi, the daughter of Levi, and she was born Beina Chumash, between the walls. Meaning, as they were going from, they were going through immigration, and they went from Canaan to Eretz Mitzrayim, so they, so Yocheved was born. And that, and so she signifies the 70th child. But meanwhile, Tosfos says, so what does that mean? When did Yaakov and his sons come down? In the second year, at the end of the second year of famine. So that means then that in order for Yocheved to be born at that point in time, so that means that her parents must have had marital relations during years of famine. So now it's a solid question. So Yosef, on one hand, didn't engage in marital relations because there was a famine. And Levi did? And that's a question. And Tosfos gives an interesting answer. So Tosfos says, V'akarchach shimu mitosem b'shnei ravon. V'yeshlamar delechuleyam alohavi aser, el mi shirotza lenogatzma b'chasidus, v'yosef loshim eshav alshar b'nei adam shimshu. So Tosfos says that the Gemara is not saying that there's a prohibition to have relations during Shnas Ravon. It's a midas chasidus. Meaning that a person who wants to conduct himself in an extra, right, an extra special practice and behave in a pious manner, an extra pious manner, so he should abstain. So Yosef took this upon himself. It's a little bit difficult, this answer of Tosfos, because basically now what Tosfos is saying is that, right, you see where I'm going. Yosef behaved in a manner of chasidus, and Levi didn't. And we're talking about Levi. And that's difficult to understand. That's it's the question is solid, and the answer it just needs more explanation. Okay, back to the Gemara. Okay, Ben raises the issue. Let's talk it out. So the Gemara says that during Shnat Ravon, during years of famine, so you should, the husband and wife should abstain. So the Gemara says, if you're chasuche banim, if you are depleting children, meaning you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah per revu, so then you can engage in relations during Shnas Ravon. Okay, not here, but the Mefarshim are bothered by the fact that Yosef ostensibly did not fulfill the mitzvah per revu. Meaning, what did Yosef have? Yosef had two sons. Okay? Right, we know the Gemara in Yevamos, Machlokes Beishamai Beisilol. How many does it take in order to fulfill the mitzvah per revu? So Beisilol's position is, right, ben and bas, a son and a daughter. So it's, again, the Gemara is a little bit difficult to understand because, right, immediately after saying, well, Yosef abstained during the years of famine, but if you didn't fulfill the mitzvah per revu, so then you are allowed to have Tashmish Amita. So then, okay. So, and I guess, I mean, I don't know if I really mean this, but and Yosef Paskin like Beit Shammai, right? That I can't imagine, but okay. Tana Rabbanan, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. We're about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Bizman she saw Shum Bitzaru Pir Shecha Mehembi Ban Shem Malach Yeshar Shem Alavin Lola Adam Ominichen Lo Yedeim Al Rosho. A person who does not show solidarity with the community, and the community is going through trouble, and he separates from the community. So the Malach Yeshar has come, put their hands on his head. Va'omrim ploni zesh shepirshman at Sibor, al yireb ben nechemas Sibor. This person who removed himself from the community and from the troubles of the community will not see the comfort of the community. Okay, so the more solidarity you show with the community, and the more that you commiserate with the community, so the good, that's the correct thing to do, and you will be there for the nechama. Tanya Dech Lengor quotes another brisa to make this point. This brisa is lengthy. This brisa will take us to more than halfway down the amud. Bizman shetzibur shara b'tzar. When a person is in pain, when the community is in pain, al yomar adam elok leveisi. A person should not say, "Well, I'll go to my house, v'ochel v'eshtev v'shalom alecha nafshi. I'll go home, I'll eat and drink, and good peace be upon me." V'imosa ken alav akazah omer. Now, if you do this, so this is what the Navi has to say regarding you. He's happy, he's rejoicing. Harog Bakar, talked about the killing of mourning. Harok bakar v'shachot stone, right? Shechting animals. Achol basar v'shasos yayin. Echol v'shasol. And he's eating and he's drinking. And kimachar namos. In any way, you know, we're going to die tomorrow. So eat and drink for tomorrow we'll die. Somebody said that. So miksi basrei. Now, keep reading in the Navi. This is in Yishayo. V'nigla ba'aznei Hashem tzvakosim michupar avon azeh lachem atamusim. So, you're not going to be saved from that kind of sin. Meaning, by not showing solidarity with the community, so Kadosh Baruch Hu says it will create irreparable damage. Now, ad kan midas benonim. Now, the Gemara over here interjects. The Bryce interjects. Okay, basically, these are the midas midas benonim. Meaning, they're not terrible people. You know, not great. So, right, certainly not showing solidarity with the community. Okay? Aval b'midas rishayim maksiv. Now, there's another class of people where basically they're worse. Why? Because esayu echayam v'nizbashecha. They say, bring out the wine, bring out the old wine. V'yakazen yomachar. And not only do they party today, but they plan for tomorrow. And what are they planning for tomorrow? Even more. Meaning, we're going to drink today and we're going to drink tomorrow. So, as opposed to the beinonim, beinonim are just, you know, tomorrow we're going to die, so why don't we drink today? These people actually are forecasting, you know, tomorrow what's going to happen? We're going to party tomorrow as well. So, the tzaddik is lost on account of that. The tzaddik is taken away. A difficult pasuk to translate. Rashi over here does struggle in terms of translating this pasuk. Rashi offers a couple of pshatim, but the first pshat that Rashi says is that on account of the fact that these people who party today and plan on partying tomorrow and show no solidarity with the troubles of the community, so that tzaddikim are going to die as a result of that. Okay, good. So now we know what not to do. Okay, so don't party and don't plan on partying while the community is in tsar. So what should you do? It's obvious, but the Gemara here spells it out. You should show some solidarity. You should become part of the community's troubles. Not the problem, but you should be become part of the community. Where do we see this? By we see this by Moshe Rabbeinu. Shid tzir atzmo yin tzibor. He showed solidarity with the community. Shenemar v'yadom Moshe k'vaidim. Moshe's hands were heavy. We're going to Parshas Bishalach, the war against Amalek. So Moshe raised his arms. We just saw the Mishnah together in Rosh Hashanah. And as long as Moshe's arms were raised, so the Jewish people were victorious. V'yichu evan, but Moshe's arms were raised and he was really tired. So what do they do? They took a stone and they put the stone underneath him. And he sat down on the stone. We're talking about the leader of the Jewish community. You couldn't find a pillow. You couldn't find a couch. It had to be a stone. The Jewish people right now are fighting a war. So what am I going to do? I'm going to send a comfortable couch? No way. I'll send a stone. And if you show solidarity with the community, you will see the comfort. V'shema yomar adam, mi me'id bi. Now, you're going into the privacy of your own home. No one's seeing you right now. So who's gonna testify about you? So the Gemara gives a couple of suggestions of who's going to testify about you. So avne beisam shal adam, of course, beisam shal adam idem bo. The stones and the beams of your house are going to testify against you. Shenemar ki evan mekir tizak. So the stones and the wood are going to testify against you. Your own home is going to testify against you. Once again, the malachim are always accompanying you, so they're going to testify about you. Rabbi Chidka Omer, Nishmasu Shal Adam Imeid Alav. Your neshama is going to testify against you. Shenemar Misho Chavos Chekecha Shamor Peschei Picha. Right, that which is hidden inside of you, meaning your neshama. Your limbs are going to testify about you. Shenemar Atem Edainu Hashem. You are my witnesses. Okay, so in other words, a number of possible candidates of who's going to testify about you if, in fact, you do not show solidarity and you're not mitzar yourself. You don't afflict yourself when the community is in trouble. Ad Khan, the Gemara's theme today has been one constant theme throughout today's daf, meaning once we started Daf Yud Aleph, we talked about Yosef, we talked about Moshe, the idea that you're supposed to be Mitzar yourself as the community is going through trouble, so you're supposed to be Mitzar yourself as well together with the community. Kel Emuna Ve'ein Avel. Kel Emuna Kishem Shnefraim and Risham La'olam Abba Afil Al Averikala Shosim Kach Nefraim and Atzidikim Bo'olam Azel Averikala Shosim Shosim. Kadosh Baruch Hu pays back. He's a Kel Emuna. He's honest. He will make sure that every action gets accounted for. And that's true regarding the Rishayim, even for an Avera Kala. So they will be paid back for even the light Averas. And the Tzadikim in this world, also Avera Kala. Meaning, but as we've said already a number of times throughout the Gemara, throughout Shas, meaning when do the Tzadikim get paid back? They get paid back by Olam Hazeh. For this, in this world, for the quote unquote the minor sins. Ve'in aval, the pasuk goes on, kishim shemashlim mischar letzadikim la'olam haba, afilo mitzvah kala, sheosim kach mashlim mischar l'rishayim, ba'olam hazeh afilo mitzvah kala, sheosim. Okay? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards the rishayim for whatever good actions they do in this world, and rewards the tzadikim for every action they do, even the quote unquote the minor actions in the world to come. Tzadik ve'yashar hu, Bisha'as, sorry, I'm just working on the girsa, right? Right. Amr Bisha'as Ptira Social Adam Lebe Salamo Komasav Nifratin Lifanav. Okay, upon the death of a person, every detail of his life is laid out for him. Right? The first Mishnah of the second Perek of Pirkei Avos. Basically, we're going to get to see the entire. Our entire life replayed in front of us. You did X and Y in such and such a place, and right on such and such a day. Now you're going to have no choice, but you're going to answer yes. It's going to be an accurate depiction. And not only that, but like in any. Would you sign off on that? Yeah, okay, I'll sign off on it. V'chosem, shenem rabiyad kol adam yachtam v'lo od el shem matzdik alav asadin. And now you realize the Kadosh Baruch Hu is obviously gonna signify, whatever you're getting, you deserve, right? Matzdik adin. So yep, and he's gonna say v'omer lahem yafed dantuni, right? And he'll say correct. You're absolutely correct. Right, everything I'm getting is fair. My lakai mashenemar laman titzdak bidvarecha, meaning Akash Baruch was righteous, but you're going to admit that he's righteous and that everything he did was correct. Okay, Adkan. All right, we are now about to start the next piece of Gemara, and you knew this was coming. And one of the touchstone issues of the Masechta. So our Masechta is dedicated to fasting. Now, obviously, if there's a community fast, so you have to fast, meaning you have to be part of the tzibur. But what about on your own? Meaning you decide on your own, I think it's a good idea to fast. Good thing or bad thing? I think we all know the answer to that, machlokas. And the machlokas is right here and right now. Meaning Daf Yud Aleph and the Masech and Tanis. So here we come on to one of the most classic debates that occurs. And this debate is amongst the... This debate finds itself amongst the Amoraim, perhaps even amongst the Tanaim, and also the debate is amongst the Rishonim as well. Meaning this is one of the most classic debates that takes place, and that is, are we going to encourage an ascetic life? Do we have a value in abstention from the pleasures of this world? Amar Shmuel. So the discussion starts with a statement made by Shmuel. Kol Yoshev Betanis Nikra Chote. You fast, you are a sinner. You should not avoid the pleasures of this world. You should eat. Savarki, Aitana Detanya. And Shmuel, who's an Amara, goes in accordance with the following Tana. Detanya, Rabbi Lazar, Kafar, Rabbi Omer, Ma'atam Alamer, V'chiper, Alam, Yasher, Chatal, Anefesh. That the Nazir has to provide a carbon chatas, because he was a chote, he was a sinner. V'chibez, Anefesh, Chatazeh. And how did he sin? Elashit, Siyarat, Mamanayayim. Because he abstained from wine. And abstaining from wine is abstaining from the pleasures of this world. And not only is there no need to do that, you should not do that. Now over here, he abstained from only one pleasure in the world. He only abstained from wine, and yet the Torah describes him as a chote. So the more abstention, the more chote you are. So we have so far on one side of the machlokas, we have Shmuel, Rabbi Elazar, Kafar, who say that an ascetic lifestyle is not recommended. It's not good. In fact, we could say it even one step stronger. You're a chote. You're considered a sinner. That's on one side of the debate. On the other side of the debate, Rabbi Elazar Omer. Right? Not, don't confuse. Meaning, we quoted the Tana Rabbi Elazar Kafar. This is the Amora Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Nikra Kadosh, goes the opposite direction. You are considered a holy individual, Shenemar. Kadosh Yegadal Perasei Arosho. He's considered a holy person. And once again, we're going back to the Nazir. The Nazir in the Torah is described as being someone who's holy. Why? Because he abstained. And abstention is a good thing. You're a holy person. Now again, the Kal V'chomer over here works in the opposite direction. By abstaining just from wine, you're considered holy. So the more abstention, the more holy you are. Ule Shmuel, now here we go with the Gemara. How is each other's position going to deal with the proofs of the other position? Ule Shmuel Hadamar Kadoshu Agidol Perakai. Now, as far as Shmuel is concerned, the Torah describes the Nazir as Kadosh, not the Nazir, his hair has Kedusha, meaning the growth that he ends up cutting at the end of his Naziris, and he puts under the pot and he burns it under the pot. That is what's Kadosh, but that's not a statement regarding him himself. So according to Rav Elazar, how do you explain the fact that the Torah refers to the Nazir as a chote? So the Gemara says, the Sav Nafshe. Yeah, you know why he's a chote? Because he came into contact with a mace. Meaning, one of the three basic rules regarding a Nazir is you cannot contaminate yourself by coming into contact with the dead. This Nazir did. That's why he's bringing a carbon chatas. Okay, so each position will explain what to do with the other position, with the other proofs. Now the Gemara is going to present what seems to be a stira in the shita of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar told us previously that fasting and abstention in general, ascetic lifestyle, is a holy activity. You're considered a kadosh. On the other hand, we have another statement by Rabbi Elazar, which seems to be going in the exact opposite direction. He says, a person should conduct himself as if his intestines are holy. Your holy intestines. Now why? First let's read the pasuk. Shenamar b'kirbecha kadosh. V'lo avo b'ir. Okay, the kirbecha kadosh. Take a look at the top Rashi over here. Holy intestines. What are we talking about? The ki'ilu kadosh shari b'soch me'av. Ki'ilu kol me'av kadosh. That all of your intestines are holy. V'asar lahakishan. And therefore, don't damage your intestines. Right? Those of you who are careful about what you eat, which should be all of us. So in other words, what's the expression? My body's a temple. Meaning, I take care of myself because I want to treat myself good. I want to be good to my body. So basically, Rebbe Elazar makes that very statement. And Rashi goes on to write, so you're not allowed to fast and damage your intestines by preventing it food. It needs the food. It needs the nutrition. So we have a basic problem. On one hand, Rabbi Elazar says that fasting is a good thing, you're a kadosh. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar says, treat your intestines with sanctity. Don't harm them. Meaning, feed your intestines, feed your body. So that's a blatant stira. Lokasha hadamatzil litzurei, nafshe hadalamatzil litzurei nafshe. So the Gemara says, no, in other words, depends. If you can, and I mean this both literally and figuratively, if you could stomach it, so then you should abstain from food. But if you can't handle it, so then no. So then you should eat, and you should. So basically, it is no contradiction. Rabbi Elazar says there is a value to abstention. There is a value to fasting, but only if you can handle it. If it's going to hurt you physically, so then you should not fast. But if you can do it, you should fast. Reish Lakish Amar Nikra Chassid. Reish Lakish also goes in line in thinking with Rabbi Lazar. So we have Shmuel on one side, and now we have the Amorim of Eretz Yisrael. We have Rabbi Lazar, we have Reish Lakish, who both say that fasting is a good thing. In fact, Reish Lakish goes one step further. You're not just considered Kadosh, you're considered a Chassid if you fast. So Nikra Chassid Shenemar Gomel Nafsho Ish Chesed V'Ocher Se'ero. Ocher Seiro, what does that mean? You take a look at Rashi, Ocher Seiro. So Rashi says, Amasana Machish Besar Nikra Achzar. Rashi says that Reish Lakish basically agrees with Rabbi Lazar. If by fasting you're hurting yourself, you're damaging yourself, so that's no good. Only fasting is good, but only if you can handle it, only if you can take it. But if you can handle it, it's recommended. And Reish Lakish goes even one step further. You're called a chassid. Okay. Continuing. Amar Rav Sheshes. Hi, Bar Beirav, Diyasa Betanisa, Lechol Kavala Shirusa. Rav Sheshes says that if you have the yeshiva students who are fasting, so you might as well give your food to the dog. What does that mean? Rashi explains, it is worthless. Meaning fasting for the yeshiva students is worthless. Why? Rashi says, because if you're a yeshiva student, you need your head, you need to focus, you need to concentrate, you need to eat. For you, fasting... Right, I think we all know on a fast day we kind of like we like going to work, meaning because it takes our mind off the fasting. But if you have to sit and focus and concentrate, it's very hard. Right, Tisha B'Av is really hard. Agreed. Correct. Agreed. It's right. The Gemara says we'll see this actually later on in the Masechta. It's understood. But in other words, but if you need your head, you need to focus, you need to concentrate. Rav Sheshes says I do not recommend the yeshiva student should be fasting. Again, we're not talking about on fast days. We're talking about in generalities. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba Ein Tanisibor BeBavel. There is no Tanisibor in Bavel. Ela Tisha B'Av Bilvad, except for Tisha B'Av. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes over here, in Tanisibor BeBavel, Le'inyan Isuri Chomrei Tanios, meaning that comes along together with the extra stringencies. We haven't seen it yet in the Mishnayos. We will see them later on, that you'll have, eventually, the public fast days will become so severe that they not only include abstention from eating, but they include all the extra Chomrei Zav. No leather shoes, no bathing, no oil, no marital relations. So all that will come with a public fast day that's declared in Eretz Yisrael. This will not happen Bavel, outside of Tisha B'Av. And of course, needless to say, Yom Kippur. But we don't even have to mention Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is mentioned in the Torah. But in other words, as a rabbinic fast day, the only fast day that has all these chumras is going to be Tisha B'Av in Bavel. Why not the other fast days? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says... I'm sorry, don't look at Rashi. Look at Tosfos. So Tosfos says, why won't we have this in Bavel? One line Tosfos, Perush, Shayelem, Harbig Shamim. Because in Bavel they had rain. And so therefore, there was no need in Bavel to have these kinds of fasts because... It was always fertile, and there was never going to be a problem of paucity of rain. It is interesting that in Eretz Yisrael you could have a lack of rain on a fast day, and in Bavel it's a different community, and it wouldn't necessarily be a fast in Bavel. Let's just finish up to the two dots, and tomorrow we'll pick it up from the two dots. So, Amar Reish Lakish. I'm sorry. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Amar Reish Lakish. Ein Tam Chacham, Ashar Leishay Betanis, Mimnei Shemamai, Bemlach HaShamayim. Okay, again, very similar idea to what we just saw a couple lines earlier. Ein Tam Chacham should not minimize the amount of food that he eats because it'll take away from Lach HaShamayim. Meaning he's engaged in holy work, he's learning Torah. He needs to focus, he needs to concentrate. And by fasting, it's going to be very difficult for him to focus and concentrate. And so therefore, for the Tam Chacham, a lack of food is not recommended. He should eat and be focused on Melech HaShemayim. Okay, we will stop over here. Just a quick recap. Amud Aleph, really one theme in the Amud Aleph of today's Daf Yud Aleph, and that is to be in solidarity with the community. The community is going through tzaros, so you should be part of the community. You should not... seemingly, it's from the Gemara, it seems, both publicly and even privately, you should not behave in a grandiose manner, in a life of luxury, But if the community is going through tzara, you should commiserate as well. We saw that by Moshe Rabbeinu, we saw that by Yosef HaTzadik, a number of proofs that this is so. And then the second half of today's daf touched on a very basic issue, and that is whether ascetic living is considered a value or is not considered a value. A machlokis amarayim, a machlokis tanayim, and subsequent to that, a machlokis rishonim as well, Rambam Ramban. Take a look at the Ramban on by the Nazir. You'll see the Rishonim also debate this as well. Okay, so basically a classic debate that takes place whether or not we should live an ascetic life.